All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the summer board meeting for the Montana Board of Regents. It's fantastic to see everyone here this morning and you traveled here safely. I wanted to first thank Amy for setting up our room and a socially distanced arrangement. So thank you, Amy. Speaking of which, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our newest member of the Montana Board of Regents, Amy Sexton of MSU Billings. We're thrilled to have you here with us this year, and we look forward to working alongside of you. Regent Sexton, if you wanted to do just a quick introduction.
Certainly. Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for the welcome. I am from MSU Billings, and I am double majoring in accounting and math. I am technically a senior, although I will be taking another year to complete my math degree. I'm really excited to be here. I had an excellent introduction to everything yesterday from all the OC staff, and everyone was wonderful. So I'm really excited to be here as well. I think it's going to be a really interesting year and a great year to be part of the board.
Thank you, Amy. I also would like to applaud our outgoing student regent, John Miller, for his exceptional devotion to the board, the Montana University system, and its students. Unfortunately, John wasn't able to make it here this morning, but he will be joining over the phone this morning. Thank you, John, for your service, and we'll certainly miss you, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks, Regent Lozar.
And so I don't forget, we want to make sure that Regent Miller has the opportunity to share some remarks at the end of the business part of the meeting. Perfect. Before we move into the agenda, I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the incredible work happening across our campuses right now as we prepare for a healthy return to campus, which is now only 78 weeks away. While we continue to monitor the COVID crisis and are prepared to adjust as necessary, one thing is absolutely clear. Each of our campuses is working with local and state health officials to design plans that mitigate health risk while maintaining the excellent academic, student life, and work experience that our students and employees expect from the Montana University system. OCHE has been out at the forefront monitoring our current public health crisis and its potential impact in the system, and we'll hear more about their efforts later this morning as Deputy Commissioner Brock Tessman updates us on the work of the Montana University System Healthy Fall Task Force. But for now, I want our campus teams to know how much their efforts are appreciated during one of the most uncertain and challenging times our university system has ever faced. Returning back to this morning's agenda, I just want to note that the board will move into executive session following the business meeting to address annual evaluations. Just a couple notes. We are muting all the lines so we don't get any feedback. And this meeting is being recorded. So moving to the meeting minutes, approval of meeting minutes, May 20th, 2020, meeting minutes. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Regent Sheehy. Is there any discussion or corrections from members of the board? Is there any comments from the campuses? Is there any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Same sign. Motion passes. Mr. Commissioner, we'll move on to your portion of this morning's meeting for the Commissioner's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too would like to extend my appreciation to the board members for traveling here today and participating in this meeting and the evaluations that will follow. They're important feedback for all of your leadership team, and it will be a very helpful conversation as we move through the day. You know, sort of keeping with the conference call tradition, I don't have a whole lot of commissioners' comments this morning. I would briefly say, extend a thanks to the governor for prioritizing higher education with the GEARS funding. That announcement came out last week, and those are some incredibly needed dollars within the MUS, given all that we've faced this spring, and greatly appreciate that. I had the pleasure to participate on a panel yesterday talking about working with governors and what a blessing Montana has seen over the last 8 years. And we know as we move forward, we'll continue a good relationship with our next governor. But this is a governor that's prioritized education in Montana, and I'm very pleased with that, and very grateful to him and his cabinet for looking out for the interest of public universities across the state. Again, your campus reports are posted online. There's some great information in there. We've shared some information over the last few weeks that I think is important in the musings, and we'll continue to do that as our main vehicle for broadcasting MUS news. Other than that, Mr. Chair, I think we can move to introductions if there are any. They're a little challenging on the phone. If there's anything that we need to say from the campuses, now we can unmute the lines and do that. Otherwise, we'll do some official introductions in September.
So are there any introductions from the campus communities? You are you're unmuted if you'd like to make an introduction.
Very well. Mr. Chair, I think we can move on with the agenda.
Okay. Moving on to the next item, the next portion of this morning's business meeting is the consent agenda. You'll see staff items, maritime items, and other consent agenda items A through J. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Regent Nystuen. Is there any discussion or comments from members of the board? Are there any discussion or comments from the campuses? They all unmuted.
Amy, you're gonna have to unmute for this portion.
I'll go back. Are there any questions or comments from the campuses? Is there any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, aye. Same sign. Motion passes. And okay, moving on to Heather, do we want to unmute all?
Well, we got to have Ron and.
Oh, okay.
Just tell, maybe we could ask everybody, if you're not speaking, make sure your line is muted. We're gonna remove the mute all, so those that need to speak can, and you'll be in control of your own mute button. But if you're not speaking, if you could make sure you're on mute, that would be very helpful.
Okay, moving on to the first action item for this morning's meeting. Action item A, request for authorization to plan a new dining facility, University of Montana, Missoula. I believe Dr. Muffick will be introducing this item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This item authorizes project planning and programming and schematic design work only, and it does not authorize construction, financing, or any operations and maintenance. Again, this is a request from the University of Montana in Missoula for authorization to plan a new dining facility. The request is for $360,000, and funding is from the recent bond issue proceeds. Some background on the need for this facility. The new dining facility is a critical piece of the ongoing student services master plan and upgrade of facilities, which U of M is in the midst of. The current dining facility located in the Lomason Center was built in 1954. It has had some, that building was built in 54. There have been some renovations in the late 90s, early 2000s to the facility. But the facility does not provide the modern amenities found in dining facilities at peer institutions. The new facility will improve the student experience on campus. Serves about 13,000 people at U of M as far as the dining facilities there. That includes faculty, staff, and students. This is for planning only. We anticipate coming to the Board of Regents in the fall to discuss recommendations for proceeding with the project, which would include cost estimates and the schematics, and then followed by a bid process for construction. With the intent of beginning construction in the spring of 2021, with a targeted completion date, an aggressive completion date of by fall of 2022. Again, those will all be dates that may be in flux depending on how the planning process goes. So I'll stand for any questions, and I believe Vice President Paul Lassiter is also available for any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Muffick. Any questions on the planning of the new dining facility at University of Montana? Any questions for Mr. Muffick? Seeing none, we're going to go through each one of these items and take action. So I will entertain a motion to approve action item A, request for authorization to plan a new dining facility at University of Montana, Missoula.
So moved.
Moved by Regent Dombrowski. Is there any comments or discussion from members of the board? Are there any comments from the campuses? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Moving on to action item B, request for authorization to restructure the SUM activity fee, University of Montana, Missoula. I believe Deputy Commissioner Trevor will introduce this item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Tyler here. Good morning. This is a item that was intended to be packaged with a couple of other restructuring fee items that is a student-driven item and brought to you. The other two were originally brought in May. This fee, which is a specific portion of the ASUM activity fee, pertains to the sustainability opt-out fee, and that's a $6 fee charged to all students. Students could opt out if they do not choose to participate. I think the last most current look at how many opt out was about 29%, so it runs somewhere between 29% and 33% of the students are opting out. The request here is to do away with the opt out and just charge $6 to everyone. So this is completely in line with board policy to bring student-driven fees at any time. And I'll just remind everybody that the Board of Regents takes up fees every other year. It's traditionally the May board meeting following a legislative session, but student-driven fees can come at any time. And so this comes to you with a vote, a positive vote of the students. In fact, the vote on this one was slightly better than the other two restructuring items that you approved for the University of Montana in May. So with that, I'd mentioned that Vice President Lassiter is on the line to help answer questions as well. Mr. Chair, we stand for questions.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Trevor. Any questions on this item?
I don't have a question. I'm just excited to see so much student support for this. You know, it was great to see the outcome of the vote and the spread for each of the items that passed and the really strong support for this. It's really exciting to see this type of effort at one of our campuses, and especially that it's supported by students.
Thank you, Regent Rogers. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve action item B.
So moved.
Moved by Regent Tuss. Is there any discussion or comments from members of the board? Any discussion or comments from campuses? Is there any public comment? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment.
Sorry, this is James Flanagan, the ASUM Vice President for University of Montana. I wanted to give a quick public comment on this fee restructure. I just wanted to really commend the student body. They showed a lot of ingenuity in getting this passed. They were very driven on getting this passed. This is something they really wanted. And I'm very proud of this student-led initiative, and I hope that all the regents can see the care that the students put into this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flanagan. Any additional public comment?
Yes, this is Taylor Gregory. I'm the president of ASUM, and I also wanted to echo the statements of James and applaud the work of the students at the University of Montana. And just provide a little bit more background on our sustainability fee. So per ASUM's fiscal policy, our sustainability fee funds our sustainability center and our CLES sustainability fund, which both create student-driven sustainability projects at UM, where previous projects in the past 5 years have included an upgrade to our ASUM bus garage with our heaters, numerous reusable water bottle stations around campus, and covered bike parking in front of our university center. Just a couple of projects that this fee is funded in the last 5 years. So I just wanted to provide that background and applaud the work of the students.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Is there any additional public comment? Any additional public comment? Seeing no further comment, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. The next item is action item C, level two proposal. Well, this morning we've got a single proposal that's in front of us to take action on. It is from the University of Montana, Missoula, a BS in Public Health. I believe Deputy Commissioner Tessman will introduce this item for us this morning. Deputy Commissioner.
That's right. Mr. Chair and members of the board, Brock Tessman here. We do have just a single level two proposal for you today. And as you'll remember, we'll be phasing out these level two action items in moving to the request to plan process that is part of our new approval protocol. The item today does come from the University of Montana, Bachelor's of Science in Public Health with four options, one in general public health, one in community health, one in population health, and one in global health. On the line, I believe we have Dr. Tony Ward, who is the chair of the UM School of Public and Community Health Sciences. And I know that Provost Harbor and incoming Provost Humphrey are also on the line should we need some backup. But I would turn it over to Dr. Ward now if he is on the line.
Yeah, thank you. This is Tony Ward from Missoula. And we're excited to be proposing this level two proposal. I think there's no better time to invest in a public health program than right now, given the pandemic. But we're building off of our accredited master's level public health program and our accredited PhD program by proposing this new undergraduate degree in public health, getting a lot of great feedback from potential students on campus. And we look forward to any questions or addressing any concerns that you may have.
Thank you, Dr. Ward. Any questions or comments for Deputy Commissioner Tessman or Dr. Ward? Okay, seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve action item C.
So moved.
Moved by Regent Dombrowski. Is there any discussion or comments from members of the board?
Actually.
Yeah, Regent Rogers.
I just will note that I really appreciate the workforce bent of this proposal and trying to be prepared for future workforce needs as forecasted. So thanks for including all that information in the proposal.
Thank you, Regent Rogers. Any other comments from members of the board? Any comments or discussion from the campuses? Is there any public comment? Any public comment? Seeing no further comment, I will call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, next up, we've got a single information item this morning. I believe Deputy Commissioner Tessman and Commissioner Christian will be covering this particular item, Healthy Fall Task Force Update. Deputy Commissioner.
Yep, Mr. Chair, members of the board, happy to give a brief update here on the progress of our Healthy Fall 2020 Task Force. I think most of the board would remember that in early June, we finalized our planning guidelines for our campuses. The task force was comprised of a dozen members from across the university system. We really focused on the student and academic experience in some of our earlier discussions and then branched out to public health experts, human resources experts, our legal teams, budget and finance teams, and other experts on our campuses at OCHE and across the state. I think those guidelines were digested by our campuses and served as the basis for a lot of their campus-specific plans. And at this point, on June 30th, we have about half of the campuses now having submitted a more detailed plan for the fall semester. And I imagine the remainder of the campuses will be submitting their plans again soon. I want to reiterate that the task force itself is not charged with writing specific plans, and nor is the task force or our office working through word by word and editing and redrafting. The campuses really are driving this process, and we're here as a sounding board and certainly as a problem-solving entity. Throughout the process thus far, and certainly as we move forward,
Deputy Commissioner
Reagan's off on vacation.
Deputy Commissioner, let's pause for a second. I just want to make an announcement that all those that are on the line, can you please mute yourself? All those that are on the line, please mute yourself. We're getting some conversations. That sounds better. Deputy Commissioner, if you could proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So throughout the process, our goal has been obviously to mitigate the health risk for our students and employees, and then also maximize the quality of the academic and work experience and the student life experience. We are still in the middle of all of this. That's not for me to tell you. You all understand that. We continue to monitor public health conditions. We continue to stay in close contact with public health officials at the local and state level. We continue to monitor our capacity in terms of protective equipment, testing, and these kinds of elements that are important parts of our fall planning. So it's an evolving discussion. We have certainly discussions around testing strategies, discussions around athletics, discussions around staffing, and if you've been plugged in, you'll know that there is a great deal of discussion around masks and face coverings. As I mentioned, this is absolutely an ongoing conversation. I feel like we're very meaningfully engaged with key stakeholders, and not just campus leadership at the administrative level, but faculty and staff and community members. It's tough to kind of wrap your arms around it, but it's just a fluid situation right now. And our focus really is on building a culture of mask wearing. That's what matters to us most. We want as many students and employees as possible to be responsible in all sorts of ways, with social distancing, with health monitoring, with hand washing, and certainly with wearing masks. And our goal is to establish that culture by setting a strong example from the top down. Certainly campus leadership, student leadership will be part of our strategy of building this positive culture. I think education is an important element here, and just really letting everyone know that we have an expectation that students and employees are going to be wearing masks as we return to our campuses. And I guess the best way to put it is that that's our focus, really, more than any kind of legal terminology or specific wording right now. I'll continue to give these updates certainly throughout the fall, and am available to answer any questions right now. Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Brock. Any questions for Deputy Commissioner? Yeah, Regent Sheehy.
I got a couple questions. What's the scope of the authority that you're providing to the campuses? You say that you're not instituting any plans, but how are we going to do that as an MUS?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Regent Sheehy. So I like to think of the planning guidelines we established as sideboards. So they establish kind of boundaries of planning for campuses. An example might be around the concept of social distancing. And we've asked campuses to at workspaces and in classroom spaces, and we're able to implement social distancing policy. And it's not in our purview, I think, to look at blueprints of every classroom and every one of our campuses and to make specific recommendations. But if we did have a campus that submitted a plan and said their main instructional building was not going to adhere to a policy of social distancing, that's at a point where I think the task force and honestly this office would engage and work with them to make sure that that was in fact the case and that there was no option to sort of come up with.
I know that a lot of private entities would rather that there be actual rules. I'm wondering if some of our campuses wouldn't really appreciate some actual rules so that they could then decide how to enforce them rather than whether those are guidelines or rules. Has that been contemplated at all?
Mr. Chair, Regent Sheehy, could you provide an example of what a rule would be that you would expect to stretch beyond guidelines?
Like masks should be worn in public areas.
Regent Sheehy, Mr. Chair, if I could weigh in on this, I think in the guidance, what we anticipate, because there's such a diversity across all of our campuses, that as those campus plans are developed, they would have guidance in there that much more approaches sort of the rules, what that campus expectations are. We're working with the campuses to sort of embrace that. So it's not all nebulous, but we've tried to create with the healthy task force work sort of a framework for planning, and then allow campuses to work with their campus communities, address the nuances of each campus, and develop plans that will resemble rules to some extent that suggest how the campus will operate and what those expectations are.
So will campuses be able to set rules? I'm just using mask wearing as an example. Rules?
Mr. Chair, Regent Sheehy, I think that we're asking the campuses to stay right now within the boundaries of what is set in the recommendations.
So recommend no rule.
But those are still kind of fluid, and I think as we approach the return, those will solidify to a large extent. And we'll have guidance on campus. As we develop rules, we also have the conversations around enforcing the rules and what the ramifications of those infractions will be. And that becomes a bit more challenging. I'm not saying we're trying to completely run from that, but those are conversations that are going on right now. And as we continue to sort of vet this moving up to the start, we are looking at, you know, what will be guidance, what will be necessary to create rules around. And then ultimately, if we create rules or requirements, then how would we enforce those and what would the mechanism be? And I mean, you've got OCHE and campuses, legal HR, shared governance groups that are actively working on this. I mean, we literally have calls almost daily on this topic. And so we'll continue to sort of monitor, update as we move forward.
I do want to reiterate that I think that how we open, when we open, these issues around opening are right smack dab in the authority of this board. And while I appreciate all the information and appreciate all the hard work that's been done, I think this is our job. I think we should be taking it on. And if rules have to be made and how to enforce those rules, those are things we should be considering. We will not meet again before the schools open. It concerns me greatly that the board hasn't addressed this public health issues, just like the presence of guns on campus and how we monitor that within the scope of this board's duties and our obligations. So I think we should be involved in this.
Yeah, Regent Nystuen.
Do I have to hit a button?
No, it's on.
Okay. Question is, can county health officers basically mandate things in one county and not another county? Correct, Joyce? Regent Dabrowski. So in theory, you know, the health officer in Missoula County mandates this, University of Montana would have to follow suit. But in contrast, if Gallatin County's health officer doesn't require masks, I presume that that's, I mean, we're at the whim or at the discretion or at the judgment, if you will, of the county health officers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Regent Dabrowski?
Yeah, Regent. Regent Nystuen, yes, the county health department has the legal authority. I'm looking at my attorney colleague, the legal authority to create rules within the county that can be certainly stricter, not any less, of course, that's coming from the, you know, from the governor's office or the federal. So that's why I believe that part of this conversation needs to have an acknowledgement to that particular.
Mr. Chair, Chair Regent Nystuen, I completely agree, and that's been pretty clear in the governor's guidance too, that counties can do unique things for the county. I agree with Regent Sheehy, though. This board could also take a policy decision that is something that we, you know, if one county does it, we could apply across the system. Or not. And certainly as this sort of unfolds, we can have a meeting to that effect if necessary to address those very concerns. I think we are meeting frequently with those local health officials trying to get a sense of what they're doing. Obviously, the landscape has changed even a little bit in the last week. And so as the counties unfold their requirements or their concerns, we may need things to address those. And you know, certainly appreciate your flexibility in terms of timing and the rest. This may very well be that the board needs to create some policy around it and enforcement policy around it and the rest. I think we are working closely with local officials, county by county, to see what they anticipate moving forward, and then we could certainly interact with the board as necessary to try and enforce those or not, or whatever is the will of this board, I think. And I guess to the earlier question, when it comes to policy and rules, I think it is a board. And so most of what we've done is guidance, which I think OCHE can do. And so as we sort of move along, we'll see where we need to land on this thing. Ultimately, though, what Brock said, I think, is the baseline. And I think you've heard our governor say it over and over too. It more than any rule can do, we've got to create a culture around a healthy start. And that includes a whole lot of things, masks, social distancing. You know, it's really not going to matter if we have some of those without the others. If we still have dozens of students congregating in a dorm room, that's not going to work. And so we're going to have to work through all of those aspects. We're working closely with the county to do that. We've got to develop a culture. And Montana Tech's doing a lot of work on sort of leading the way in terms of a pledge even to say we're going to embrace a culture of trying to be healthy, to stick around on weekends, to not travel a lot, to really work together to try to see that we can keep these campuses open for an in-person experience. That's what students overwhelmingly tell us they're interested in, but we have to do that. We have to do it carefully. We have to do it consistent with what the health guidelines are from the state and county. So it's going to be all of the above. The main thing, though, we have to develop a culture, and students, faculty, staff, community members are going to have to embrace that, whether we're talking about all of those things you mentioned, from athletics to God knows what. If we're going to do any of this, we're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to do it right, and we're going to have to be compliant. I think some of our struggles of late is, as a state, we sort of move from phase one to phase three. We kind of skip that phase two when we're all going to be really careful. We can't do that on our campuses, or none of this effort will be of value. So it's developing the culture first, and then see what we can do in terms of guidance rules, the rest as we move forward.
Yeah, Regent Sheehy.
I agree with that. But I think that we have to recognize that as a culture, changing the culture usually takes a long time, and time we do not have.
Mm-hmm.
Our employees don't have it, and our students don't have it. I just think back, most of you aren't old enough to remember when we enacted the seatbelt law, but it took a long time for people to take that obvious step towards public safety. So in changing the culture, I think it's really important that we not just rely on the absence of policy from us to allow guidelines to be put in place. I think this board has to act at some point about how we are opening our schools. And I'm not saying we get into the nitty gritty necessarily, but I am thinking that we should look at, are we going to go case by case, adopt the public health for each campus that exists in their county? How are we going to do it? Are we going to adopt the strictest public health for the whole MUS? In accord with the one MUS theory, what are we going to do for our students, for our employees in 8 weeks? I think we have to decide. And I think that's where the culture has to start with us.
I appreciate that.
Maybe I'll weigh in. I agree with you. I agree with you completely. If we go back 7 days, 14 days, ago, the whole context has sort of shifted and changed in terms of COVID, in terms of conversation around social distancing. States are shifting, you know, their reopening phases and their reopening plans. So I think there's a lot of change underfoot. And I think, you know, I've certainly heard in this discussion sort of the words fluid and evolving. And I think we, as a board, need to recognize that and be very agile. I agree with you 100% that the board can take action on this, and I think we need to continue to engage with the commissioner's office and the task force and the work that Deputy Commissioner Tessman is doing in listening to local health officials and the local campus needs, etc., so that we have a sort of what we need to be able to make a decision. And in terms of, you know, what the commissioner says, in terms of building a culture, I agree with you that it does take time, but I think there's a lot of power in student leaders, staff leaders, faculty and administrators really leading by example and choosing how they interact with each other, how do they keep distance from each other, wearing mask coverings, et cetera. And I think that's the, at this point in time, that's the one thing I would double down on and sort of underscore for folks in the campus community is now is the time to wear masks. Now is the time to socially distance. And now is the time to sort of be a role model in your community. And I think as, you know, what has changed in the last 2 weeks is a lot. What may change in the next 8 weeks could be a lot. And so as this board, I think we need to be ready to make, be ready to come back together and have some conversations if there are, you know, significant shifts. I understand the sort of challenges that come with, you know, enforcing, and we've got, you know, 14 units across the state, and each one are different communities with different experiences with the virus. And so we're going to need to make a decision. Should the whole pandemic shift and change in the state of Montana? So I guess maybe an urging to all of us on the board to be really vigilant. And I know I will be communicating very closely with you all. I know the commissioner has been communicating closely with Paul and I and others on the team as we learn more about the pandemic and where we're at in the state of Montana. I think we need to be ready to make a decision if we need to make a decision. But right now, I think, again, double down on developing that culture of mask wearing and social distancing. It will be a really good thing for our campuses. And I think this goes not just for this topic about reopening, but it goes to, you know, what's happened the last three and a half months is every campus is different in our system, and yet they have all figured out a way to prioritize what is best for their community, prioritize what is best for students on their campus. And I know that's going to continue on between now and the opening of the residential experience at, in the university system. And we really look forward to open and honest conversations with those leaders on campuses and in those communities as we hear feedback from folks across the state on the reopening plan for the university system. So, Regent Nystuen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deputy Commissioner Tessman, Commissioner Christian, I would echo Regent Sheehy's comments about being a central driver and ultimately what our campuses do. You know, I guess, you know, we get a lot of communications from the regions, from the musings and things like that. But I think it's time to double down, Mr. Chair, on the amount of communications that are coming with regards to when you're having meetings, be informed about those. What are the discussion points and outcomes and so forth? I'd be curious to know what this group is doing, the Healthy Montana campus group is doing, with regards to monitoring what Idaho, Wyoming, the Dakotas are doing. I don't know about Eastern Washington. I think Washington is different and so forth. But, you know, it'd be interesting to start getting information from your office as to what, we're not in this alone. What are you hearing from Wichita people and others? This is a developing story. I guess I'd like to have more regular communications from this group for us to help make sure we're making a unified decision in that regard. This isn't the commissioner's decision. This isn't the regents commission. This is the campus. We're in this all this together. And therefore, I think the best way to do that is to really elevate our communications. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Regent Nystuen, more than happy. I mean, we literally are meeting daily on these topics. I have a Wichita and a Shio and a Nash call every week. AGB met last week. I mean, there is a lot of activity. So we clearly are looking at what is best practice around the country, best practice in our neighborhood across the West. Others, of course, nuances there, but we'll try to communicate what is the outflow of that conversation. I know it feels like the first day of class is right around the corner, and it is, and I strongly acknowledge that. And I think I also acknowledge that the flow of this pandemic is almost at a daily pace now. Some really good information out of the President's Council last week, sort of community by community, are almost needing to make different decisions now based on hotspots and what's transpiring in those local communities. And so we continue to monitor that. I mean, one thing we are seeing across the country is that the presence of hotspots, whether that's a wedding or a meeting or a conference or a whatever, are absolutely the case. And that is certainly a concern that I hear raised across the university systems or throughout the nation, that could resemble us if we're not careful. So we're definitely monitoring that. We'll try to communicate that.
Again, my point is the information ought to just not stay here in Helena. I think it needs to get out to a much wider audience. I think that that will help people accept this if they know it's coming. They're better prepared. They can buy in. They can ask questions rather than all of a sudden we make the decision at the 11th hour. This is how it's going to be. So they're forewarned, whether it's like a winter storm or it's some other calamity, people will be able to better adapt to it. They're part of the process and they're informed along the way.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So what information you said you need, this information should sort of be out, maybe you're talking about out to the campus community or out somewhere. What specific information are you looking to sort of be spread out?
Right, Mr. Commissioner, Chair Lozar, are you keeping minutes of this group, of your meetings? I don't mean to answer your question with another question, but are you keeping minutes of the task force, the Healthy Fall Task Force?
Mr. Chair, Regent Nystuen, the task force is, I don't know if they're keeping official minutes, but they're certainly taking notes. A lot of the national conversations, the Zoom meetings are being recorded. So I think there's a record of those. We can share those links or we could share.
And I understand there's a need at times around boardroom tables, but not every piece of information is perhaps getting. I know we're a public body and some things like that, but there can be very sensitive information or private information or something like that. So I know that not everything has to be documented to a T and exactly who says what, but I think if there's no consensus being built around a direction that we should be going or a message we need to convey, that ought to be a part of some type of minutes and some type of dialogue that gets reported back out to all the stakeholders. That's from my vantage point, what I think is important.
As we move forward here, it'd be one thing if we saw the trends going the other direction.
No, but I don't feel that way.
Regent Sheehy?
My point is kind of related to Bob's, which is this is our job. So if we're going to wait for somebody else to come up with things, maybe we should, as a policy, delegate our duty officially. But at the moment, we're not doing our job. I'm not opposed to any of the different ways that we could do this that allow for flexibility. In times of crisis, such as say a strike, an employee strike, sometimes a board will delegate its duties to their administrators or some other body. But if we can't get the information to make this decision, that doesn't mean it's not our decision. It is our decision. And if we're going to proceed in a way that is sound, then we should decide to either delegate that authority to take a report and vote on it. But we are opening the schools under different circumstances than usual, and that should either be our decision or we should have delegated it to someone else to make. We're waiting for more information. I get that, but this is our decision, and we can't impliedly delegate it. So how we open these schools in 7 weeks, we got to vote. There has to be a vote on one mechanism or another for delegating our authority, adopting local state, whatever it is we decide to do, we need to decide that. Or else it has no authority, in my opinion. I think it is clear under the statute imposing our obligations that one of them is how and when and in what manner to open the schools. So that's my point.
So Regent Sheehy, what do you see as a solution sort of moving forward, right? You know, this morning we got an update on the from the task force, an update from the commissioner on sort of where things are at and what the task force is doing and sort of where it's at in terms of its plan and its recommendations with the information that we know right now.
I think we have to either approve the plan to implement it, revise the plan, or delegate our authority. I think we need to act. I don't think we can do it today. I get that there are ways that we could adopt a plan that are fluid. We could adopt the plan that we are delegating the investigative authority to this task force, and that we are adopting the CDC guidelines in place now and in the future for county entities, or whatever it is, whatever their plan is. We could just adopt the plan. But to not act is to abrogate our duty. Sure. I'm really worried about not fulfilling the duty that we have as board members. I think it's really important, especially if it all comes in together. This is such an unusual time. But when you talk about a culture, describing a culture and changing the culture, that's our job. We're supposed to be the ones at the top of the system saying, this is the new culture. And here's how we're adopting it. But most of all, I think it's up to us to determine the safety of our students and our employees by implementing a plan or delegating that duty.
Maybe a question for the commissioner. When we put together this task force several weeks ago now, were they sort of charged from your office of coming up with a plan for the fall, or coming up with guidance, or coming up as a body that was collecting information from communities? What was its charge? And, you know, thinking about Regent Sheehy's comments, and granted, I completely understand every day is different. And so for the task force to come up with a plan that we have in front of us and may shift the next day or the day before, who really knows? But is that task force designed in a way to make some specific recommendations to this board?
Mr. Chair, I think if you review that document, what the task force was really challenged with doing is to evaluate what is happening currently, to look at best practice in our region, in our country, CDC guidelines. So there's a lot of the footnotes to that report you'll see came from a myriad of documents around best practice guidelines that are published at a federal, state, local levels. But essentially create a template for the campuses to do the plans. The campuses are coming up with and are asked to create a plan. It wasn't to create a one MUS plan. We just didn't know if we could feasibly do that with the sort of nuances from campus to campus. To be honest, some campuses were making progress already when the document came out. A lot of them were a long ways down that path. Others hadn't made much progress. I think part of the objective of the plan was to ask the questions to campuses. Are you thinking about these seven things? And each page of that lists some topics around HR, around research, around different topics to say, have you, you know, as a campus body, thought through all of these? And if you haven't, you should. And if you are, great, but should address things that are found within these and then recommendations found within the plan itself. The guidelines, I think, for lack of a better term. It probably is, as Brock described, sideboards, guidelines. The campuses have been asked to do campus plans. We can vet this a little more in terms of whether you know, an action item that may help address Regent Sheehy's concern and that of others in terms of, you know, either to delegate or to embrace the guidelines and ask the campuses delegate the plan making ability to a campus, or I think those are things we can do. And like I said, we may very well need to have a conference call or something before we get back to session. But I could see embracing that, the work of the task force. I mean, it was a broad task force that has looked at a whole lot of things. Maybe this board could embrace the work that's happened there and then require those campuses to make the plans through some delegation strategy and report those plans back. That's sort of what is in the works right now. About half of the campuses are a long ways on the plan, have submitted the first round of those to OCHE. Some are still working on it. But again, you know, I want to stress, as much as we all want to get this done and have it nailed down, it remains fairly fluid, as the pandemic has remained quite fluid in terms of where we are. I mean, this thing looks a lot different today than it did a couple of weeks ago. And the plans will have to address that changing landscape as we move forward. But I think we can work around the guidance that we've been given here today.
Regent Tuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe a question for the commissioner. As Regent Nystuen has said, we're not doing this alone. We're not in a vacuum associated with this. And obviously, this is a national and international problem. Commissioner, along the lines of what you just discussed, are there certain, you know, knowing that we're not health experts, with the exception of one regent, Regent Dombrowski. Thank you, Regent Dombrowski, for your service. But we're just not. And so I'm wondering if there are triggers or thresholds that are coming down from the CDC or nationally, as this entire nation looks to open campuses. And I mean, this is going to be, as some people would say, a petri dish, right? I mean, students coming from all, you know, literally millions of students coming from all over the world to campuses all over our country. And are there thresholds that you know, CDC or somebody is saying, if this happens, if the rate looks like this on August 1st, this is what you should be doing? Or is it kind of a go it alone, work with local health departments? Is there any consistency in what higher education nationally should be expected to do to keep students, staff, and faculty safe?
Mr. Chair, Regent Tuss and Regent Dombrowski may want to help on this, but I mean, kind of all of the above. There are CDC guidelines around, and there is Department of Ed best practice for higher education institutions. We're clearly watching those, monitoring those. They're part of the work that the task force is engaged with. There is some CDC guidelines around large events that we continue to monitor. But there's also been sort of this overwhelming presence that you know, most conversations, even that start at the national level, are, here's some thoughts, but whatever you guys think locally. And that's how it sort of eventually trickles out to local health departments. And we're engaging frequently with those local health departments, community by community, to see where those go. And most of the guidelines, state guidelines, certainly have said, here's much like our task force report. They said, here's some guidelines, some sort of sideboards from a state level, but whatever you guys think locally, the structure we've employed is similar to that. So yes, I think there are some guidelines that are incorporated into the body of work that has been done by the task force and that's being done at each campus level. But there's also a lot of local discretion. There is no hard and fast rules. I have not seen any by August 1st stuff that you referenced. It's been monitor your own communities, look at your own infection rates, do what's best. And so, you know, we're trying to embrace that as we move along. Is that your take?
Chair and Commissioner, yes, I just can't overemphasize how fluid the situation is. And that really is a challenge. We're trying to make a decision by a certain point. And if I may, I'll give you just a brief example from healthcare in the western part of the state. We eased our visitor restrictions. We saw the incidence rising. We said, you know, we're going to rethink that decision. And so now we've restricted visitors again. We were getting a lot of pushback, but from the community, getting support from the health department, but the support is you have to do what you need to do. And so that's what we're doing in Providence. Now, I think Kalispell's following suit, as is Community Medical Center, but only because we're sort of trying together to create a consistent standard. So I appreciate and want to be an action-oriented board. I think this pandemic is really not giving us an opportunity to do that very well. And so I might suggest, as we think about delegating it, we delegate it to an incident command type of group that really then has the flexibility to work with the campuses and the county health department. So there's a clear line. And the reason I say that is that's exactly what happens in healthcare. My board knows and has delegated the responsibilities to our incident command system. And so we go up, we go down, we go faster, we go slower, and then we inform the board, but the board has clearly delegated that. So thank you for that opportunity. Yeah.
Other comments? Yeah, Regent Rogers.
I'll just join in support of the concept that Regent Sheehy's trying to promote, that the board does need to have some sort of discussion and vote on this to delegate the authority or to maintain the authority. I think, as we've all noted, and as we all experience in public health, this is a very fluid pandemic situation, and we need to have that flexibility to be able to continue to move forward and to be nimble and have a clear communication structure for our campuses as well. I think that that's the thing I'm the most concerned about, is different campuses have different communication structures that are stronger or weaker, and there's only so much support that we can give them from the OCHI level. So how do we ensure that not only the communication to the campuses is clear, but then the campuses have the appropriate support they need to really communicate that, not only to their employees, faculty, students, but also their communities, in a way that the communities understand and hopefully support the direction that they're going? Because ultimately, even if campuses seem a little bit sort of insular and separated from the communities, they're not. So I think that we need to really think clearly about not only how we delegate large public health decisions, but also how we're delegating and having a clear incident command structure or other structure allows for this clear communication to continue.
Thank you, Regent Rogers. Well, this has been a very good conversation, dynamic conversation. I just kind of reflecting on the comments this morning. I do think we have kind of going back to sort of leading by example as a board who has authority to make these types of decisions, particularly for the health of our campus communities, that we have an opportunity to weigh in and sort of make a decision, whatever those decision points may be, right? Well, I don't know if we know exactly. We've talked about masks, I think. And there's probably other decision points that we have not discussed that are certainly embedded in the work of the task force and the campus plans, but that we have the opportunity to sort of weigh in and show our support for the work that has been done in terms of a recommendation. I don't know if the recommendations come from a task force or an incident command group, but I think I would feel comfortable, certainly having listened to the folks on the board, that we have the opportunity to make a decision. And I don't know when that decision will be, to be honest with you. I think it would be totally artificial to put a date on this. And I see Regent Dombrowski nodding. So in terms of sort of next steps, I think we probably need to get a little more. I'm curious to see some of the campus plans. I know they're coming in. And I think we need to figure out at some juncture during the summer that we meet and sort of reevaluate where exactly we're at and what the charge will be for the campuses. and then make a decision. I mean, I think to Paul's point, we are not public health officials ourselves. And so I think inherent in what we're talking about is delegating some of that information gathering from, you know, from the experts. And I think we really need to listen to those experts. So for us to be able to get a group together to make some recommendations to this board, I think is kind of a combination of the incident command making some recommendations and us fulfilling our fiduciary duties as a board to make a decision and sort of lead by example. So with that, Mr. Commissioner, did you have a comment, Regent Nystuen?
Mike, when you're done, Casey.
I was going to say with that, Mr. Commissioner, I think you kind of see where the board is at in terms of continuing to get some information, even though it's sort of shifting and changing and bring some options, as you had mentioned, maybe an action item in front of this board to have us give us the opportunity to deliberate, understand all the nuances of what's happening sort of closer to the reopening of this, the campuses in the fall. And then we can sort of weigh in as a board.
Chair, Mr. Commissioner, I guess I'm going to request one more time that we be provided information along the way rather than here it is. Here's a 48-hour notice. The board needs to vote on this plan here. I think at a minimum, we should be provided a weekly update from the task force and the commissioner's office as to what's going on. You know, what are the next milestones? What's the next information you're gathering? What have you discerned so far? Who have the contacts been? And be more transparent with us along the way. If we're going to be in a position to vote yes or no on something that impacts thousands of people across the state, I think we need to be better informed along the way.
Any other questions or comments from members of the board? Any parting words, Deputy Commissioner Tessman?
Speechless.
I think we've got a couple things that we need to work on, obviously, over the summer. And I'm going to reiterate it again. I just really appreciate the work that's being done at the campus community. I appreciate feedback that we receive from our constituents across the state. I think that's really helpful as we hear from them and their thoughts and ideas. And I appreciate Commissioner your work on this and Brock's work on trying to understand and get, you know, sort of grapple with, you know, what's happening in our campus communities and really planning for. I think we're all shooting for the same thing, right? You know, a resident experience in the fall in the most healthy way we can possibly make it for everyone on campuses, including the communities in which our campuses are at. So, Mr. Commissioner, I think we've got a couple things to work on over the course of the summer.
Well, at least a couple.
So. With that, if there's no other comments, we will move on to this portion of the agenda is public comment, as we will be going into an executive session towards in the next few minutes. But right now is public comment. So just make sure that the lines are unmuted. Are they unmuted?
I just unmuted all the lines.
Okay, all the lines are unmuted. So if we're here to seek some public comments, if you wish to give public comment, please state your name, your first name and your last name for the record. And we just ask that you keep your comments brief and concise, you know, within two or three minutes or so, just to afford others the opportunity to provide comment, public comments as well. So at this point in time, we'll entertain public comment. Is there any star six or any of those things, or is just the lines are open?
Open, and I'll be watching.
So we'll entertain some public comments, and I'll ask that if you are not providing public comment, that you mute yourself. Is there any public comment?
This is Tammy Harris with MFPE.
Hello, Tammy.
Hey, good morning. So I appreciate the conversation that you guys just had regarding campuses and planning for fall. The only comment I would add is, I have to say, I appreciate the commissioner's office and Deputy Commissioner McCray and admins on all campuses willing to have conversations with us, very similar to what you guys just discussed. It is changing. It is a time that is uncomfortable and people are anxious for, but I think the more we can continue the conversation and discuss all of the options that we have going forward, we'll make it work the best of everybody's safety and ability. And so just thank you to the commissioner's office for including the union and having weekly updates and calls with us and hearing our concerns and answering our questions as we go forward.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Any additional public comment? Additional public comment?
Hi, this is James Flanagan, Vice President of ASU. I'm speaking again. I just wanted to say thank you to the Regents for having that conversation. It's one that, frankly, everyone on my campus has been wanting to hear more on. We are very concerned about what reopening is going to look like. And I'll be honest, the students, faculty, staff, and administration of UM are afraid and frustrated with the not having the ability to be able to require masks. And as we see the case count for COVID-19 rise in the state of Montana, it's one that we all feel would be very vital to the reopening of campuses in our state. It's one that I would urge everybody to consider. Recently, ASUM sent out a student feedback survey only a couple days ago. That student feedback survey already has over 600 responses. And in that survey, the top area concern for students is COVID-19 response. And among that response, each student is outlining that they would like masks to be required for the student body, for the students that are less likely to wear those masks. Most masks, unless you're wearing an N95 mask, only protect one way. And this creates a concern in itself if students are only protecting those that aren't wearing a mask, but aren't able to protect themselves despite taking the precautions to do so by wearing a mask for others. And so taking that into account, as well as all the concerns of, again, the staff, faculty, students, and administration at the University of Montana, I would like the consideration for the requirement of masks to heavily be discussed and considered. And I'm glad the conversation was started today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flanagan. Any other additional public comment? Additional public comment? Yes.
Hello, this is Chris Palmer. I'm the Faculty Senate Chair at the University of Montana in Missoula. And I would just like to sort of reiterate what was just said. The students, faculty, staff on this campus are very concerned and would really like at least to be allowed as a campus to decide whether we would have a mask requirement or what sort of mask requirement we would have on our campus.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Additional public comment. Is there any additional public comment? Additional public comment? One last call, additional public comment.
Chair Lozar, this is Regent Miller. Would you like me to interject here with closing remarks, or would you like me to wait till after public comment?
Perhaps after public comment. So Regent Miller will give one last call for public comment. Hearing no public comment. Is there any other business for today? If so, it sounds like Regent Miller has some comments for us, and probably vice versa from members of the board. Regent Miller, floor is yours.
The board, just want to give a few short remarks to recap this year and say thank you. So serving on this board as student regent has been one of the greatest honors of my undergraduate and graduate career. I'm immensely grateful for the experience of serving on this board and for serving with such passionate and thoughtful people. Montana is lucky to have devoted leaders like each of you at the helm of our higher education system. Additionally, I'd like to thank our campus administrators, faculty, staff for your tireless efforts in leading our system into the future. I would like to thank our OCHE staff for answering my abundant questions and for doing all of the behind the scenes work that is required for the board to succeed. This past year has been an unprecedented year. The pandemic has changed our higher education system in ways that none of us could have imagined. It is more important than ever to ensure and prioritize the safety of our students and our state. I'm confident that with strong, dynamic, and flexible leadership of the MUS, that we can continue to fulfill our board's mission and continue to provide our students with an affordable and high quality education. I'd like to also take a moment to recognize the systemic injustices that are happening around our country and our state. Montana has a long history of state-endorsed violence perpetrated against Black people, Indigenous people, and people of color. I implore this board and our campuses to continue taking action to address racial injustices, engaging in meaningful conversations surrounding these injustices that are taking place in our great state of Montana and our university system. Last, I'd like to thank each of you for giving such weight to student voice over the past year. It's truly been an honor, and I look forward to seeing what this board and our Montana university system accomplishes in the coming months. Thank you for your time, mentorship, and friendship.
Thank you, Regent Miller. Regent Sheehy.
John, we're gonna miss you. You are the sixth student regent to have mentored me. I think you've done a pretty good job. You've taught me a lot. I look forward to seeing you in your new career, which you'll join me, I hope, as a member of the Montana Bar. Wanted you to know before you left that I very much enjoyed sitting next to you. I've enjoyed your smarts. I've enjoyed your wit and your various social skills. So thank you so much, John, for your service to the board.
Thanks, Martha.
Oh, and you'll get your song later in private.
Oh, joy.
Regent Tuss.
John, thank you. Thank you for your service. I want to add one more thing that Regent Sheehy failed to address, and that's that you certainly upped the dress code when it came to this particular board. I don't know if I appreciate that or not, indeed, I wanted to mention that. And I did want to, on a more serious note, thank you for your service to the students of the Montana University System. I certainly know, as does every regent around this table, that the students of Montana were always uppermost in your mind as you made important decisions over the last 12 months with regard to very important policy decisions in the Montana University System. So I wish you well in your future endeavors, and you will be missed. Thank you for your service.
Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your service. You certainly left an impact on the MUS, and you did it with grace, and I agree with Regent Tuss, a bit of style along the way. Thank you. Thank you for your service to the state, and we look forward to your continued service in your new capacity.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Yeah, Regent Sexton.
Yeah, John, I just wanted to thank you for your service over the last year, particularly for students. I really appreciated your approachability, and I love meeting you in March. I'm really looking forward to growing our friendship and to learning from your experience. I definitely feel like I have big shoes to fill, so thank you for setting that and setting the bar really high. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy, and good luck.
Thank you.
And Regent Miller, you know, I echo all of the comments from our fellow board members. You're certainly going to be missed on this board. It's amazing what you were able to accomplish in 12 months on the board as a student regent. It's a really can be a really challenging position to hold with a lot of learning about the system and processes and policies. And I think your sort of inquisitive nature allowed you to really jump in very quickly and ask questions and find that balance between posing questions and listening. And really appreciated your confidence in our meetings to speak up when there were things that you disagreed on or things that you you really bought into or agreed on. And so I really appreciate that, what you brought to the board in that capacity. And I think in my 4 or 5 years that I've been on the board, I don't think we've had a student regent chair a committee for a meeting. And you did that this year, and you did a fantastic job in that role. So I appreciate your service to this board, your service to the state, service to the campus community, and just wanted to underscore one thing you mentioned in your closing remarks, is the importance of publicly addressing the racial injustices that that are happening across this country, that happened in the state of Montana. And as the chair of the board, you know, I'll make sure that your comments and the actions that we take in the system are heard loudly and clearly, and we're willing to have those difficult conversations to be thoughtful and inclusive to all of our students and our campus community. So with that, Regent Miller, thank you again for your service on this board. We really look forward to watching where your career goes, and I know you'll continue to be in public service in some capacity, and we look forward to seeing your profile across the state with your prominent bow tie. And with that, the last item for today's meeting is executive session. As the presiding officer, I've determined that the demands of individual privacy in these matters clearly exceed the merits of public discourse. Therefore, I will be closing this meeting to all but the trustees and those necessary to the discussion of these matters. Immediately after the executive session, we will be adjourning, so everyone can please hang up, but we wish you a very healthy summer, and we look forward to engaging with you all throughout the summer, and certainly as we open the doors in the fall.